cope with difficulties better. But it's definitely starting with the basics, just getting people to move what they can move and notice how good they feel. And I have yet to teach a class where somebody who is really grumpy and resistant doesn't relax by the end and say thank you.
Hey, 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 welcome to another episode of The Socket, and I'm Van Tucker. The Socket is a podcast about improving the quality of life of amputees, featuring conversations with the global amputee community. Today we have Marsha from Yoga for Amputees. Over the past decade, Yoga for Amputees and Marsha have been empowering to get back to your freedom from reducing pain, anxiety, stress, and suffering for amputees through yoga-based practices. In this episode, we'll learn the story of Yoga for Amputees and how to get started with yoga if you have never gotten it before, and also a new online yoga class program for amputations of all levels. So let's dive in. So hi, Marsha. Welcome to The Socket. I'm really excited to have you here today. I came across your profile on Instagram, actually, about 2 years ago, and one thing I was really impressed was, you know, you have a huge passion in the industry, I found, just by looking at your account. Then I went exploring, then looked at your website, and I found that you had a book, you do training and classes for, you know, yoga for amputees. So it's pretty impressive what you've been doing. And so, you know, I really want to learn about how did you get started? I'd love to have you walk us through and talk about how you got started with yoga for amputees.
Sure. So it's a series of leaps, we'll say. I was a gymnast when I was a little girl and ballerina, and I had cancer as a kid. I did lose my leg or had my leg amputated in high school. And I didn't move a lot after that. The prosthetics at the time were not very good. And I just kind of got around. You know, I didn't really do anything really athletic. And as prosthetics progressed, I became able to go back to what I loved, which was movement, dance, and all of that. And I used to try yoga poses as a kid. And in my 20s, I was introduced to yoga in California. A friend and I were on some rocks in the desert, and she said, "Do you want to try yoga?" And I said, "Sure." And we did what's called a sun salutation on these big rocks. And it was like I knew how to do it. I remembered it somehow. It was very familiar to me. And I felt like I was home. And then we started hearing something panting like a puma or a coyote. And so we left. But she was nervous because she wanted to run, of course, and I couldn't. So it was quite an adventure. So that was my first real yoga experience. I was trying to get away from a wild animal of some kind in the desert. And I went back to it full time in my early 30s. I was practicing all along, which means you go to a class and you work with a teacher. And at the time, the teachers were honestly a lot more well-trained. They had studied with gurus and really done a lot of inner work for a long time. So I was really fortunate to get phenomenal teachers back in the 80s and early 90s. And then I was working on a PhD, and I had a really big medical change with my kidneys. My kidneys stopped working, so I had to go on dialysis. And I just had to switch careers. I didn't know what to do. And I actually had a dream where I was actually physically anointed by a yogi. No, it sounds crazy, but, and he said to me, you need to teach yoga. And I woke up, I said, okay, I guess that's, I'll do that. And I did, I signed up for a training, I think within that week. And I had to organize dialysis and, doing this with a not great prosthetic leg. And it was very disciplined and structured. We had to wake up and be in class by 6. And if you were there at 6:01, you got docked, for the day. And you only got 3 docks and then you were out of the program. So it was very, very, it was a big commitment. And then I started teaching. And that was 98, 99 when I was fully certified as I was an amputee. And so I didn't know any other amputees. So I just taught regular yoga for a long time, But the people who came to me mostly had something going on physically or even emotionally. And they tried other yoga teachers, but they really felt safe with me because I understood.
You know?
And so I did get a lot of people with disabilities and physical challenges, health challenges. So I was always really teaching adaptive yoga since I started, because I had, you know, every kind of body type and injury and illness you can think of, adapting and adapting and adapting. And then somebody called me to ask if I taught amputees. And at the time, I didn't specifically teach amputees. And then I got two more messages from other people. And I do a thing where if I hear something three times and I know it's time to take a change, to take, you know, jump in. And so I think within a week, there were three different incidents where people asked if I taught amputees. And so I said, I guess I do now. So that started in, officially in 2007. And then there was the first workshop in 2008. And then that's been going ever since. So 12 years now, we've been training teachers all around the globe and coming to the Amputee Coalition and teaching yoga there and teaching at conferences, yoga conferences. And we have students all over and we have teachers all over. And we're always looking for more because it's very niche and specific. So that's the short story.
That's incredible. Really love it. You know, it started off out in the forest or out in the desert, and you had this rock and you had this animal you had to run from. So, but you kept with it, and then you had that dream. So that's an amazing story, how it went. And how's kind of been the reaction of, you know, getting, you know, people that may have never been done yoga before, or they just don't know how they can even do it. So how's kind of you gone through that journey for, you know, people that, you know, they've seen yoga maybe and they've never felt comfortable to do it? How's like that process to get started with yoga?
Sure. So, you know, I say I have street cred, right? Because I have a lot of scars and I have some health challenges. And I did get a transplant, by the way, in 2006. So there was a change there. But, you know, I come in barefoot. So people know right away that I'm not kidding when I say you can practice yoga as an amputee. I think that really helps. And I have a sensitivity to, you know, really bodies that have been really challenged, that don't move a lot or haven't moved a lot. And I think for most people, yoga is very different now than it was when I started. I mean, yoga was kind of weird when I started and teaching, and it was sort of fringe. And now it's everywhere. So I think people have an awareness now that it's good for you and that it's something you can do. I still think people have a resistance to it for religious reasons. They think they're going to be practicing Hinduism, which they're not. Or they also feel like they're not flexible. And so they can't do it. And to me, yoga is breathing and everything else is secondary. So first you learn how to breathe well, and then you move your body with your breath. And what happens is you get all these benefits, not just physical benefits, but mental benefits. Like your brain starts to change, and you can handle stressors better and cope with difficulties better. But it's definitely starting with the basics, just getting people to move what they can move and notice how good they feel. And I have yet to teach a class where somebody who is really grumpy and resistant doesn't relax by the end and say thank you. So
that's incredible. And and I was kind of wondering, you know, how does it kind of, you do training for yoga professionals, and how is like yoga for amputees differ from traditional yoga practices, and why is it so important for the training for that?
Well, that's a great question. Because number one, it's definitely not one size fits all. And I'll give you an example. I get emails and messages all the time about people who are amputees or people who have an amputee coming to their class, and they said, do you have any pointers? And the reality is I need to know if the person's a BK, AK, what kind of scars they have, if they have other health issues, you know, if they're trilateral, quadrilateral, using a walker, you know what I mean? There's just so many variables. So for me, the physical practice of yoga needs to be really responsible and safe. And I personally don't want to go to a yoga class where someone just wings it with me. I want somebody who has knowledge about how to work with me and can help me blossom as a practitioner, you know, as a yoga practitioner. And if you get somebody who just wings it, I just don't feel like they're being really responsible or caring enough to the students. So having a good training means, you know, like, oh, that person's an AK amputee. They're probably going to need this, this, and this for their practice. Or, wow, this person's coming in a wheelchair. Can they get to the floor or not? You know, you can't just make it up as you go along, right?
Exactly.
So that's what we cover in these trainings is, you know, how to safely, responsibly, respectfully, and compassionately teach to all the variables that are out there and make your class really accessible to everyone.
So that's incredible. And, you know, with the yoga practitioners, how are they kind of, like, what's the response been from them once they go through the training and for their students?
Well, I have to say, you know, I think I'm very fortunate. You have to think about it in terms of what kind of person is going to sign up for a training on yoga for amputees. So far, those people have been incredibly thoughtful, kind, compassionate. A lot of them have been activists of some kind. They really believe in disability rights. Mm-hmm. They care about making yoga for everyone. So that's my starting point. So I'm lucky that way, because most people aren't just going to sign up randomly for a yoga for amputees training.
Makes sense. You know? Yeah.
So the people who come are really caring, and that's why they sign up, because they don't want to hurt anybody, and they want to be they want to make their classes really welcoming and do it the right way. Hope that answers the question.
Yeah, and you know, with them in their classes, you know, do they do separate classes, or they do blend them? How's it kind of typically implemented?
Sure. So there's both. So there's blended classes, which just means you teach a regular class, but if an amputee comes in, you go, oh, okay, cool. I can use language that helps them understand. I can adapt for them. I've got skills to work with. So there's that. And then there's also classes specifically for amputees. So a lot of our teachers work with local clinics and support groups and adaptive sports groups, specifically teaching yoga for amputees. And then there's also a lot of people that do one-on-one with amputees. Sometimes an amputee will want to do some private yoga first before they take a group class, so they can feel confident about what they're doing. So usually it's all three of those.
That's great. And it's nice to see the kind of that flexibility that they can do with all those different students. What I kind of started off at the top of the podcast here, you know, when I did your intro, was you're a kind of a diverse individual. You got a book, you do training, you also do classes. So kind of tell us about what are you kind of doing these days, and how you kind of interconnect these all together.
Can you repeat that? It got a little bit cut off.
Yeah, no problem. I was just wondering, since you've wrote a book, you offer training, and you also do classes. I was kind of wondering, what's your kind of primary focus today with yoga for amputees?
Yeah, so my focus has been for the past 12 years is training teachers. I think with the current climate that we're going through, there's going to be less yoga teachers because yoga studios are closing, unfortunately, or they just can't sustain themselves. So I still believe I will be doing yoga trainings forever in yoga for amputees. And I also feel really led to start doing more classes specifically for amputees. And I'm going to gather some of our teachers as well to join in and teach some classes, so they have lots of choices, and to really make it a viable library of classes for amputees with very specific, unique needs. You know, somebody wrote me last week who was trying to take a class that I did as a volunteer for a Facebook group, and I did a really vigorous class because it was an athletic group, but it turns out a lot of the people, which again, I didn't know because I didn't have their health information, were really struggling because they weren't wearing prosthetics, and I didn't know that. So, and some people had some injuries to deal with. So things like that, where I can cater to people who might have knee problems or diabetes or vertigo, we'll call them other challenges besides the amputation. There's something for everybody.
That's great. And about these classes, what's kind of unique is these are digital classes, correct? And that these aren't actually classes in a physical location. You plan to do these virtually?
Yeah, I'm doing them virtually. And honestly, I have been doing virtual classes quite a bit because, you know, many amputees, and again, this is again why the training is so helpful, is there's an assumption that an amputee can come to your class. And it's not always the case. You know, they may not be able to leave their home very easily, or if they can leave their home, they might not have transportation. So I want to make these classes available to everyone. That means the person who maybe isn't getting the opportunity to get a lot of physical exercise, and, you know, movement is health. It really is. And so if you are inside a lot, or it is difficult for you to get to an outside location, that's available for you, and that you can do it as many times as you want. You know, once the live stream class has been recorded, then it's available. You can practice anytime.
Awesome. So you offer on-demand classes, then also live stream classes?
Yeah, so the on-demand classes are going to be part of the library, and there must be like 30 or 40 already. And then the live stream classes will happen twice a week, and they will also be recorded and added to the library. And I'm really going to try to be specific each month with unique needs that amputees have.
Awesome. And, you know, what's kind of the best tip for an amputee wishing to get started with yoga? You know, you mentioned some things. So what's kind of the best tip for an amputee wishing to get started with yoga?
Sure. So number one, you don't need to invest all this money in props and all of this. You can use what's in your home. So if it's challenging for you to get down to the floor, you can actually do a lot of the yoga poses in your chair. And you can go to the Yoga for Amputees website, and there's free YouTube classes for chair yoga. And that's a really good place to start because the classes are very accessible. I use language that's very inclusive for all types of amputees. And that's a really good start. If you're somebody who is much more physically active, there are also videos for more active classes with and without prosthesis or prosthetics.
That's great. So we'll include the link in the podcast notes here so anyone can access these free resources, and also you can access and learn more about those on-demand courses and live sessions. So when you first started Yoga for Amputees, what do you wish you've known when you started it out?
That's a good question. I don't even think I have an answer to that. I think you learn as you go. I guess that's the fun of entrepreneurship. I don't know if I wish I knew anything different.
No worries.
Yeah.
No problem there. That's great. It's, you know, that's how life is. You just kind of go with the flow with it, and, you know, and you kind of make it work, you like what you've been doing with it.
Yeah.
So, kind of going through this journey, has there been any like books or inspiration that's helped you?
Yes. I love, there's three yoga books that I really, really love. Well, actually four. One is not an easy read, so I would say it's more geared towards yoga teachers who are geeky about yoga. And that's called The Yoga Tradition by Georg Feuerstein. I don't know how to say his name, but it's F-E-U-R-S-T-E-I-N, Georg Feuerstein. And it was written quite a number of years ago, but it literally explains yoga completely in a very cerebral way, but it's really neat. And I love the book Light on Yoga, which is a classic. And that helped me a lot to get the basics when I was first starting. And I love the book, Living Your Yoga, which is really about taking yoga from your physical practice to how you live your life. So it's really, yoga's really a lifestyle too, you know? Because once you start practicing the physical practice, you won't like the same things anymore, because number one, like if you were a smoker before, you won't really enjoy smoking as much because you'll want to take more deep breaths. And if you smoke, you're not going to be able to. So I've seen a lot of people get rid of smoking or drinking, not by forcing themselves to do it, just they just start to feel better and their body responds by saying, ugh, I don't want that anymore. The same with if you start moving your body after you haven't moved for a while, you just don't like the feeling of stagnation anymore. It's important to move to you. So your body just responds naturally. So that's Living Your Yoga. The breathing book, I like that book. That's a great book for learning how to breathe really well. Anything else? There's a beautiful book called Yoga Illustrated. I think that was put out by Yoga Journal. It's just a beautiful book to look at, with pictures of all these amazing poses and inspiration.
That's incredible. And you know, that we really like, you know, books so people can really dive in and really immerse themselves in it. So it's great that you kind of shared some more technical books and also ended it with the illustration book. So it's awesome. And you kind of touched about the lifestyle component of yoga and how it kind of transforms your life. So what kind of commitment, you know, some people are like, I don't have time to do yoga, mm-hmm. or they just, you know, they haven't got implemented in their life. So how do you kind of recommend for someone to kind of start implement into their lifestyle? Like, what kind of commitments are needed to incorporate yoga?
Yep. Well, I just created a program called the 21-Day Yoga for Amputees Challenge. And the most you're going to commit to a yoga practice after 3 weeks is, 7 minutes. So the first week is 3 minutes, the second week is 5 minutes, and the third week is 7 minutes. And I do that on purpose because you can actually feel a difference in your body when you do 3 minutes of breathing and movement. And point being that if you can feel that good after 3 minutes, you might want to feel that good after 5 or 7 or 10. Really, that's all you need to get started. And some days I just do a 5-minute yoga practice. You know, a couple of stretches here and there and a couple of breathing techniques. And I do feel different because we are busy and we also have a lot of commitments. And it's a lot to put in. But if you start with creating a daily ritual, that's the idea, is that if it becomes a ritual, like making your coffee or whatever you do in the morning, mm-hmm. You start to notice like, oh, I have 5 minutes. I can do 5 minutes of yoga, you know? And then it becomes, oh, I can't do anything until I do my 5 minutes of yoga.
Exactly.
Right? Kind of like coffee. I mean, I don't drink coffee, I drink tea, but similar, you know, once I have had a cup of tea, I feel like I'm ready for the day. So same thing with breathing and meditation.
Great. Is there anything I should have asked, but I didn't?
Well, if people want to get the book, it's probably really helpful.
Yeah, tell us about your book. We talked a lot about, you know, your training and mm-hmm. your classes. What's your book that you have?
So the book is called Yoga for Amputees, The Essential Guide to Finding Wholeness After Limb Loss. And it's really designed for everybody. So there's something for the amputee, which it's about describing the basics of yoga, and it has really good practices to try for specific unique needs of amputees, and it goes through, it's really like an encyclopedia, but it doesn't have to be overwhelming in that way. You can just pick and choose. And then it's great for clinicians because there's a really detailed part for clinicians. So somebody who works in a prosthetic clinic and maybe wants to add yoga to their PT program, there's a whole clinical section for them. And then there's a lot of detail for yoga teachers and yoga therapists. And it's in paperback and on Kindle, so you can download it and then have it forever. And the other thing that's really wonderful, I think, about the book is that there are models in the book who have lost their limbs in many different ways. So again, it covers, you know, for a lot of people, it's being able to see others like you in a yoga book. Yep. And they all tell their story. And the really beautiful thing is for all of them that I interviewed, they didn't have to hesitate at all when I asked them what the gifts have been for their limb loss and how they feel whole themselves. And none of them had trouble with that. So that's also very hopeful, I think, for people who have experienced limb loss to know that there's another side to it.
Yeah, that's incredible. And where can they find this book at?
Sure. So there's Barnes & Noble online, Amazon online, and those are the main two. I think there's a company in Europe whose name I forget now, but, and I know people have bought it in Australia and Hong Kong and all over, but mostly through Amazon.
Got it. And, you know, you recently released this on-demand classes that you have coming out. Can you kind of tell us more about the audience can find about, learn about those and to join?
Sure. So there'll be a new website, and it will be called yogaforamputeesondemand.com. And it's just specifically for people to sign up. They can do a monthly subscription and do all the classes and have them all available and have full access to the library, or they can do a drop-in if they're not ready. And I'm going to be doing a couple things differently just because, again, the amputee population in general don't necessarily have the same financial means that your average person does going into a yoga studio. So there'll be lots of different options for people.
Perfect. Well, that's it, Marcia. It's been a pleasure to have you on our podcast here. You know, our goal is to really improve the quality of life of amputees. So we try to find inspiration, individuals and practitioners, and really learning their stories of how they're using health and wellness tips such as yoga, how they're improving their outcomes with technology. So it's been a pleasure to have you on this episode.
So thank you so much, man. This was delightful, and I absolutely love the name of your broadcast.
It's called The Socket, so it's,
that's great.
It took some thinking of the best name. So it was a fun brainstorm session to make the name. So I'm glad you love it.